Zedon, thinking out loud in color.
Does he know this is just audio?
February 23rd, 2005. I'm Tim Shadle. Hi, welcome to Zedon. This week we're going to be talking about version control. Specifically, we're going to be talking about subversion in a couple of these shows, and we're going to be talking about how subversion compares with CVS and really why subversion seems to be a very good fit for Java development. To start off with, let's go back to version control. Version control is a subject that has been around forever, and if you're not using version control, hopefully by the end of a couple shows here, it'll be something you definitely want to check out and get into. One of the main problems that comes with software development is sharing the code between more than one developer, or making sure that you can roll back to an older version of the code when you discover that there's a problem, or find out where the problem got inserted. And if you've been into open source really at all, then projects like places like SourceForge that house a lot of projects, you're able to browse the code and download it. There's a lot of different free software options if you want to do some source code control. And so I'm really going to be focusing on two different options, CVS and its up-and-coming predecessor, Subversion. And I've worked with both of them, and I've also worked with some others like SourceSafe and some other proprietary ones as well. But the two open source ones that I've worked with primarily have been CVS and Subversion. It seems that at all the different places I go that I've worked at, I've had to try to establish version control, or they were unhappy with some of the things that were of how their version control system was working, and we had to choose an option of which one to go with, and we looked at some proprietary ones. And so primarily a lot of what we're trying to solve with version control is really how do you share files, and it becomes, especially as you get into automated build systems, it really becomes a focal point for communication for the team. As you look at some of the writings about XP, the extreme programming, they really advocate that you commit at least daily, and if you don't get your changes done, you throw them away. And the whole point there really is to communicate how the code is changing back to the team as quickly as possible to get feedback. So whether you subscribe to XP or not, version control really is a focal point for communicating progress with the team. One of the things that I always look for version control tools is, first of all, I like to use open source stuff simply because, first of all, it's free. Second of all, it's very widely used among a lot of different projects by a lot of different people. So it's going to have seen in, open source tools are going to be installed on a lot of different platforms, your Unix or your AIX or, or Linux or Windows, and you're going to have, especially on some of the more common platforms like Windows or Linux, you're really going to have seen a lot of usage. So the issues and security issues, any kind of data integrity issues will surface rather quickly as the user base is pretty large. Now, there are some open source tools that don't have a ton of users. For example, there's Aegeus, and then there's some tools that are sort of open source like BitKeeper, but there's certain restrictions with the licenses and some of those tools you need to buy if you're going to use them commercially. And then there's big commercial tools like Perforce and PVCS, which I don't recommend, but there's some good ones out there like Perforce and some others. But the basic models of version control can really be found in a lot of the open source tools. Some of the things that I look for when I'm trying to evaluate different version control tools is the way they do the locking. For example, at our, my current position in my current job, we initially had PBCS from I can't remember who it's by. It's like CompuWare, I think. No, it's that's who we have. It's Merit. When I initially started, we had Merit PBCS. Its locking mechanism, when you pull files out of the repository, they're initially all read-only. And the only way you can actually work on a file is if you go to the version control system and mark it that you lock it so that no one else can be editing it while you make their changes. There were only three of us initially on this project. It's since grown to be a team of about 20. But the initial group of us that were doing a couple of the small projects, we were doing a web development with, you know, EJBs. So we ended up crossing a lot, paths a lot, and having the strict locking really got in our way quite a bit, because, you know, we would each be adding different pieces to the web tier. We would be adding, you know, one of us would be working on the registration part while another was working on the user management part or something like that. And we would end up needing to modify several of the configuration files in different places at the same time. And we ended up being kind of in a gridlock where we would waste time waiting for the other person to get done with the file. And so a lot of times either we would cheat and make our copy on our local drive writable without telling the version control system about it, or we would have to move on to something else and then try to come back when the team member was done and pick up where we left off. So having strict locking really got in the way of doing the server-side Java development, because we were not able to work on the same file in different spots at the same time. And I think that you'll find it's the case with a lot of different projects, even in a lot of in different languages. People have had experience with optimistic locking or versus strict locking in a lot of different scenarios. And if you take a look at the version control, pragmatic version control by Dave Thomas and Andy Hunt, they really have used version control with a lot of different languages, and over their experience, they always recommend the optimistic locking. And in that model, basically, when you retrieve the files from the version control system, you can go ahead and edit any of the files you want. And when you're done, you tell the version control system, I want to check these in. And it will make sure that no one else has changed them in the meantime, or if they have been changed, it will automatically merge their changes in with yours as far as is possible. And so for the most part, everything runs smoothly, probably 95% of the time. So really, the locking gets out of your way, lets you get your work done, and then the few times when you actually end up editing the same file as somebody else in the same place, then the automated merging will identify the changes that it can't tell what the file should be like. And so really you end up with a small percentage of your time, I'd say way less than 5, but you know, 5 for a safe bet. Somebody has to look over the couple lines and make some decisions about which code gets the priority. So in that respect, the version control tool does its job. It lets you share files. It lets you communicate with the team by putting your code into version control frequently. And it lets you continue to do your work without being deadlocked by somebody else. So having the optimistic locking, in my view, is especially important. There can be a couple times when you run into problems with people writing diverging changes, but in a lot of cases it really gets out of your way if you don't have the strict locking. There are a book that I would highly recommend if you're just setting up your version control system, no matter what what choice you make on the version control system to use, I would highly recommend you take a look at Software Configuration Management Patterns by Steve Brzuch and Brad Appleton. You can find the ISBN in the show notes. But it is a very straightforward, very clear, concise book about the different principles that go that are behind running a good version control system, and how you can set your version control system up and set up the standards of how you work with it to really enable teamwork in a lot of different instances. And it's completely unrelated to language choice of what you're programming in or what you're doing, really, for that matter. But it focuses around setting up good policies, setting up good structures, making choices about locking versus non-locking. And again, they recommend the optimistic locking scenario. It also talks about helping to support your daily build and unit testing procedures, and also how to allow for some experimental kinds of work to be going on while actual production work is going on, without having the two conflict, and being able to keep the merits of version control, like being able to roll back or keep a good history of the code as it progresses. And so it's a book I can't recommend highly enough. So between that one that is tool agnostic, that talks about version control in general, and the Pragmatic Version Control series, either the Pragmatic Version Control with CVS, and now they've got a Pragmatic Version Control with Subversion out. Though either of those tools are quite, either of those books, they'll go hand in hand. One's going to be focused on using the tool, the other's going to be focused on using the patterns. And really, I find that the pieces of the Software Configuration Management Patterns book that deal a little bit more with the tools meshes quite well with the Pragmatic Version Control, and vice versa. There's some of the philosophy behind Pragmatic Version Control that fits quite well with the Software Configuration Management Patterns book. So those are two that I'd highly recommend. Another attribute of version control that I look for when I'm going through the different tools is I really like the atomic commits, and this comes specifically with Subversion. But if you look at other version control tools out there, some of the more expensive ones like Perforce or BitKeeper that are more sophisticated, they make sure that when you send your changes to the central server, that they either all go in or they don't. I've worked with a couple of tools where that is not the case. For example, CVS, the open source version control system that's been around forever, it seems. It commits each file one at a time. It'll do them all in one big chunk. With one command, you can send all the files. But if a problem happens halfway through, then half of your files have been committed to version control and half of them haven't. So, you know, at that point, you're sending the wrong kinds of communication to your team. You're not sending all of the changes that go together. And that can be a big problem. We've seen that. We ran into that a couple times in my last company, where we would get partway through and then we'd have some sort of problem, and then we'd have to try to either back out the changes or tell everybody, hold on a second, I gotta fix this change, and then I'll get the rest of my files in. So that became quite a problem when we started looking around for tools that would support atomic commits. And in those cases, if it gets halfway through the sending, you know, 500 files to the server, and hopefully you're doing fewer than that most of the time, but if it gets halfway through, it's going to tell the server, do not apply any of the changes I sent to you already, and the server will not accept them. It'll roll back, and it's really analogous to a database transaction or any other kind of thing that you want to have be fully atomic. Either all of it goes in or none of it goes in. Another tool that I've worked with that did not have this kind of commit atomic commits was the Marant PBCS version. Now, I don't know if they've added it in newer versions, but the one I used at early on at my current job, it didn't have any kind of management files in your directory. So on your directory itself, when you sent the files in, it would try to send all of them, you could either when you were adding, but you couldn't add in the same at the same time as you could check in files that you had locked for modification. So by definition, you could not modify a configuration file that also required a new Java class, for example, and send that modification and that new file in one commit. You, by definition of the way that the tool worked, you had to do those in two separate actions. So while it seems like a no-brainer to want a tool that will, by default, send all of the files all at once, a lot of the tools out there don't. And in my opinion, Subversion does a very good job of this. I mean, that was one of the core requirements it had up front, was being able to do atomic commits, either sending everything all at once or not sending anything at all. And it has got a couple different ways it can do it on the back end. You can take a look at the configurations. And you can find the link to Subversion in the show notes, but it handles atomic commits very well. It also handles the locking in what I think is the best manner, which is the optimistic locking. One more thing about version control tools that I think is very important while you're selecting them is to look at the way that they support branching. Now, branching is one of those topics with version control that you can either go crazy on and end up with way too many branches, or you can be really draconian and say there's not going to be any branches. In my mind, I really find it to be a helpful tool if used properly. And I've read some stuff. There's a great article a couple years back in Dr. Dobbs, and I don't know if I can find a link to that one. But certainly, the software configuration management patterns, I think, really embodies the best advice on how to manage your branches and manage them in a way that doesn't become overwhelming but proves to be very helpful for you. So check out that book on how to use your branching with your version control system. But one of the things to compare CVS to Subversion, when you go to branch CVS, CVS forces you to have the paradigm of each file is under version control, so you have to branch every file. And it gets a little confusing if you add a file on a branch and want to bring it back to the trunk. In my last company, we would have some problems with that when my colleague was working on one branch, I was working on another, and then we both wanted to add the file to the trunk. We had some problems. It didn't really handle branching very well because it was on a per-file basis. With Subversion, you got a completely different scenario. Subversion is the version's the entire repository, and branching is something that's just very quick and very easy. With CVS, it has to go mark every file as being branched. With Subversion, it's a cheap, constant-time operation. Again, that's one of the initial core requirements, is branching had to be done easily. And so when you go to make a branch, you've got instantaneously you've made a branch off a specific point in time, and it's got all of the right tools and all the right files and folders and all the right places. And as you make changes on that branch, they've got some great tools for bringing those changes back to your main code line. So that is, again, one of the big pieces of making your selection on how to, which tool you want to use. Another of the big operations you want to try to do with version control is integrate it with your development environment. Now, this is kind of a wishy-washy one in one sense. I mean, a lot of times I really like doing the version control stuff from the command line, but that may not be really the preference for most of your teams. So you want to choose something that integrates well with your version with your IDE. We use Eclipse, and so there's a lot of great plugins. They've got a good paradigm that they've got with it integrated very well with CVS of how to do synchronizing your local workspace with your remote repository, bringing down changes, looking at which files are versioned, and but the Subversion can also tie. There's a Subversion plugin, and it works quite well with Eclipse 3.1, the latest milestones. And it doesn't do a bad job with 3.0, but it ties right in with the repository with the team portions of Eclipse. So that's another very good feature. Of a very important feature of version control. Well, we've run out of time today, so I'm going to just cut it short here, and we'll pick up more on the topic of version control in the next show.
If you've got something to say, go ahead and leave a comment on the weblog at timshadle.com, or send me an email at z.feedback@gmail.com. That's zdotfeedback@gmail.com. See ya.